You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome to the Joe Rogan Universe Podcast.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your hosts, Adam Thorne and Garrett Hess.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and the Joe Rogan Experience review listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/review. In 2021, mental health is finally a thing. So many people are struggling right now and aren't feeling like their normal selves. Therapy helps. And it doesn't have to be sitting around just talking about your feelings. So what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. You can privately talk to someone if you feel like you're not dealing well with your stress or you're having relationship issues. Whatever you need, don't be ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better. Because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. You can keep it private that way. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is all about. See if it's for you, because you are your greatest asset. Again, that's betterhelp.com/review. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Joined as always by my co-host, whose birthday it is today. I just found that out. Happy birthday, Garrett.
Happy birthday, my brother. There from Jamaica, rude boy.
39. Damn. So damn. I am basically exactly a year older than you.
Right.
Yeah. I
mean, two times smarter, but like 1 year.
It's just the accent. It fools everybody.
Fair enough.
All right. This week was an interesting week. Lex was on. Love Lex. I have to say, anytime he's on, I can't wait to do a pod with him. Right. And then Neil Blomkamp was truly fascinating. Podcast. I mean, I've loved that guy's movies forever. I had no idea who he was or why he was making them and any of those. But we're gonna skip over Zuby and Megan Murphy only because not that their conversations weren't interesting, but Zuby was basically all COVID stuff and opinions, right. And Megan Murphy was like all kind of like gender issue stuff, which to be honest, these things like they're coming up a lot and we have to talk about it a lot because it gets covered on his podcast. But honestly, sometimes I don't want to talk about it. If you're into it and you need a top up, listen to those ones. But otherwise we're gonna stick with Lex and Neil.
You gotta mitigate that stuff,
All I know is this: if I'm getting super bored of talking about it, guaranteed people are getting super bored of listening to it.
It's weird thumbing through. I mean, we don't have to make mention to it, but it's just like it seems like this cancel idea. It's always just like that's like the new like fun thing to do. Like it's almost like a weird like Hunger Games kind of fucking feeling. It's like
people love
to see. I don't understand. Is that like I was just talking to my girl, like what's about like human nature, and it's like only humans would do that. Like these kinds of behaviors, like that, literally only humans. Like animals don't do this shit to each other.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it in so many aspects of life. I guarantee that the average review of anything, an Amazon product, you know, a movie or a show on Netflix, or even a podcast is like significantly lower during cancel culture because people are just more mad. about
it
things.
Just seems like that's the narrative now. It's like that's what everybody wants to focus yeah. on. It's I hope that other people are finding it vaguely humorous at this point. Like, I hope you can find the humor in that, because it's just like we've really pushed the envelope so fucking far at this point. Now it's like, what else is there?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I what mean, else.
Look, if we're
I
talking
really
about canceling people like Gavin Newsom, yes, I'm all about it. Recall him. He ruined the state during COVID.
I don't
like,
know
that's
if
you
can't.
I mean,
that said, I don't know if you cancel that. I just don't give him this. Like, we just don't give him the platform. Like, let's all just be a little bit.
Yeah,
more
I hope he has a good life and
like,
carries on. Just
I don't care.
Doesn't
I mean, I don't
scam
care
and lie to anybody anymore. But
well, that seems to be the like the common theme of politicians, huh?
Yeah, they love that. I think that's why they get into it, so they can scam and lie.
I mean, what? And that's what you would hope they would get into it with the mindset of like, I want to change culture, I want to change humanity at some like level. I would
hope, good
especially
luck.
For the like. I mean, with it, but the thing that when you make it into a job and you have a salary for that kind of occupation, it seems like you need to seek that out.
Yeah,
without like compensation, I would assume.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
it'd be good to have best of both worlds, but it's like that seems like those are kind of they don't those that's like a conflict of interest.
Yeah, it's money and power, man. That's what they want.
Right.
And power is too addictive, so they forget what they even were trying to get in there for. And then all that re-election bullshit. Like as soon as they're in, they're starting to think about getting elected again. I mean, it's a slippery slope even for them. I get it.
I'm sure we'll get into it with Neil about him talking about characters and whatnot, but like, do you think that's like a character trait to like desire power? Like what, that has to be like some sort of, I mean, ultimately a biological instinct to want something. It comes down to probably survival at the end of the day, but it's like, it's just an interesting thing to want power over other people.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just that it's so addictive that once people get a taste for it and realize what they can do with it, they don't want to give it up ever.
I'm not trying to say that I'm some enlightened being. I just don't know that I really desire any power over anybody. Like it doesn't seem peaceful.
I guess it depends like how you define it, right? I mean, pretty much everybody wants a lot of money and money is power. And then to say you don't want power over people, I mean, money buys you that in a sense. Like, people will do things for you because you can pay them.
True.
So
I always think about money as freedom, but I guess that could be associated with what you're saying because it provides you that option. So
well, it does depend how you spend it, obviously. But
right.
I don't know. I think that anybody can get – it's a slippery slope, so anybody can get tricked by it. And before you know it, you're in right. deep, and then you're starting
more
to
money,
really,
more money.
You know, your values are getting tested at that point, probably.
Yeah.
Depends.
More money, more problems, but
yeah, we don't have to worry about that. So we just have a bunch of problems and we're poor.
No, hey, our lives are pretty fucking good, but let's acknowledge that.
I'm happy. Yeah. I'm a happy guy. Not too many complaints. Okay. I try not to get too upset about things.
No time.
Anyway, let's jump onto the Lex Fridman podcast. Obviously, Lex is it's so interesting to listen to him now, like even as a Rogan guest, because like his evolution of podcasting and becoming well known is all happened fairly recently, and he's taken to it well. I mean, the kind of celebrity that he's become is. A good version of one. Like, he's still very ethical and well thought out and, you know, has this very different life now that he's well known and he's doing really good things about it. I mean, it's interesting having him on Rogan because there was one point where he said he was talking about a specific guest and he was like, man, I really wish that he was on Rogan right now. So I could listen to it instead of having to interview it, right? That's funny.
No, I thought that was a lot. He's so authentic. It's like refreshing. You know what I mean? It's almost, I don't want to say too much. It's like just enough, but it's like so 100% just I am Lex, and you got to appreciate his like character and like ethics for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But even when he was saying that to Joe, I thought that is interesting, because sometimes I hear certain guests on Rogan and I'm like, oh man, I wish I was hearing this on Lex's show, just because he has such a different style and right. he often gets to more of the details specifically. Right. And sometimes you want that out of certain guests. So it's like cool that you have like these different, you know.
I love it.
It's like if Joe Rogan got a PhD, that's what that show should be called.
He's like, can I read you a poem? And Joe's like, did you write this one too?
Hilarious.
He's like, no, it was just funny. It's like funny singing, but I mean, it's good. Like he was talking about playing Hendrix on there too. That would have been a ballsy play, but
yeah, right.
It was just like the way he was like, he was like, you got into the comments, didn't you? Like that's so funny how much that probably, I mean, I've never really read comments from time to time. It's interesting too. Like if you watch something on Instagram, like normally the first thing that comes to your mind is the first fucking comment.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to, I normally don't thumb through it, but I do find it interesting. That's like the normal, like, consciousness or like thought process tends to like be very centralized to like what would you think, and it's like bam, right in front of you. It's just interesting how human beings think about different shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you watched any of those like crate challenges of late?
Oh yes, yeah, Snoop Dogg's Instagram. Guys, don't like try and walk over crates. Way too difficult.
This is people eating shit.
Everyone's falling off those things. You can't. Snoop's. What I love about Snoop is like this is like some guy's backyard, and Snoop's like, yeah, I'll put it on my Instagram with 69 million people can watch this. Like that's how good that is.
No, I'm sure Snoop has somebody doing his shit for him, and he's like, just keep the funny shit rolling so it keeps the channel moving.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Well, people probably just send it to him and he reposts it. Yeah. Those are pretty hilarious, though.
Fucking hilarious.
Instagram's still relevant, man. It's, you know, it's like, you know, all the beef with Twitter and like how frustrating that is. And like, I don't even mess with Twitter at all.
I've never fucked with Twitter.
Yeah, Instagram's still, they're doing their thing. Still works for me.
I mean,
it's just funny. Just a lot of funny shit on that.
I just told my girl, I was like, my cousin hasn't reached out to me like via text, happy birthday, but he posted like 10 pictures on Facebook, which I appreciate him putting it together. It's just an interesting way to communicate. Like, it is what it is. Like, I love it. It's just a weird way.
Wait, what do you mean? I'm old. I'm not following this. Like, he sent you, birthday wishes on Facebook?
Yeah, yeah. Just, like, a birthday, like, collage, like, happy birthday, cuz, which I do appreciate. But, like, it's just interesting how much, like, a human voice or, like, a call means, like, and it's kind of, like, not one and the same because it takes time to put that shit together. So, I appreciate it.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah.
I do. Just a human voice is, like, it goes a long way.
Like, I'd rather get a phone call than a birthday card.
Right, or like just don't even give me the goddamn gift card, just like call me. Like,
you remember when you were like 10 years old and you were like, I don't even want my aunt to visit, just send me money. It's like, oh yeah, like when you open cards, like you don't even care what's in there. If cash doesn't fall out, you're like, I hate that member of my family.
Take it easy, but I only had a few aunts. Like, I appreciated those ladies.
No, I didn't want any cards that didn't have money in. And if they got me a gift certificate, you could only use it at one place, okay, so I got real upset.
If there was money in the card, you'd take the time to read the card, but no money, fuck the card.
Yeah, I'm not reading nothing.
Okay.
I was like 10. I was calculating fuck how much cards. The card cost, and I was like, you could have just sent me that money.
I did have that same thought process on multiple occasions. I'm like, I appreciate the thought, but next time just send the money, not the thoughts. All right?
Yeah, at that age, I wanted two things, toys and candy, and I needed money to get them. There were some obstacles in the way.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Right.
He-Man was my toy.
Right.
I needed
He-Man. I was more of a Ninja Turtle guy myself. But
what did you think about Lex talking about writing for 12, like he's gonna get into like writing 12 hours a day or something?
I like
he likes to do some extreme shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I like hearing him say it because I feel like he's the type of person, and I think we kind of come cut from that same cloth. It's like, if you're going to say it, then you better fucking do that shit. That's what I was thinking to myself. And I mean, I feel like hearing the few conversations that he's had, it makes you a little bit subconsciously closer to these people because you're like, all right, now I see how you see things, and I've heard you express yourself in certain ways. So when I do hear him say that, like, the thing that goes through my mind is like, all right, you better fucking do that shit, and let's see what that comes from that. Like, I'm excited to see it because you will do it.
Yeah.
But let's see it.
He's obviously a very disciplined guy.
That's what I'm saying. To say you're going to read 12 to 14 hours a day and write, I mean, I can verbally say to you the hardest thing for me to do is, I mean, it's that same book that Joe always promotes too, the War of Art. It's not necessarily the Art of War. It's the War of Art, just sitting down and writing about it. I've expressed that multiple times. Just like putting yourself in front of the blank page is probably one of the roughest things for people that want to be moving around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When I used to try and write my comedy sets, I mean, you take like 4 hours of doing that. 3 hours of it was just staring at the computer getting upset.
Right.
It was hard. You're like, everything I'm writing.
I've taped whole pages and then like literally just pressed delete like multiple times. Like, it's because you're like so judgy of yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost very difficult to do. But, you know, he's a disciplined guy. I think he's going to do it. But along those same lines, I also think that he, you know, is learning to be careful about what he commits to, because he was even talking about how he doesn't text Goggins back sometimes because he knows Goggins is going to make him run a marathon.
I think that kind of just falls right in line with what I was just saying. Like, that's exactly right. Because he would, if he did text him and Goggins did get back to him, he'd be like, fuck, now I got to do this run.
Yeah.
That's how we would be. That's how we would be, too. It'd be like, all right, I put myself out there. Now that's when he was like, I don't even open the emails when I get here or whatever. Because he's like, I don't want to read that shit just right away. But I appreciate the Goggins mentality, as I always preach to it. We took the day off today, but I just appreciate the discipline that he has, obviously.
Yeah, he's an absolute animal. It's terrifying. I mean, you can draw inspiration from it, but it's almost like, oh my god, I can't do that. Slow down.
No,
he's almost too good.
It's not, though. That's the thing. It's like, set the bar fucking high, and then if you fall short, you know the bar's been high the whole fucking time. So if you miss 1 minute, then at least you're still living better than 99% of the people other than fucking Goggins.
Damn, son. Do you just drink a Red Bull before this podcast? You got wings? Or...
I'm in Jamaica. I've had a couple rums, bud.
There we go. That explains it. Rum and Red Bull talk. Here we go. Do you think you're going to watch that QAnon documentary they keep jamming on about? I mean, Joe's going to talk about this for the next like few months for sure, at least until he gets through it. It sounds interesting, but
what is this Trump thing? Like, he mentions the number 17. I've never heard that.
Oh, it's some like subliminal message that keeps popping up through QAnon. It's like all in codes, so that number has some value.
There's always a few connections, but it's like, where do you draw the connections? I don't know. I liked how I think they were talking about AI quite a bit. Obviously, they talked about it in both, but it was like, that seems like a slippery slope the more and more we talk about it. And you've been pretty adamant about that Oculus too, yeah?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big proponent of that. I think that, I mean, right now where it's at, it's fun, but it's not amazing. Right. But I think it's going to get pretty wild fast. And, you know, Lex talks a lot about AI because he studies it. And he doesn't really have a negative association with it. What was he saying on the pod? He's like mostly focusing on the human interaction with AI, right? It's like something that's not really that studied.
Wasn't he talking about the robots but not being connected to, I can't remember the name of that company. What's the name of the big? Yeah,
Boston Dynamics.
Boston Dynamics.
Yeah, they do all the backflips and fucking crazy parkouring.
That shit's coming quick. That's the thing too. It's like with technology, I was listening to some, it's like we're just like not keep, Joe made mention to it. It's like humans just can't keep up with the amount of technology that our brains are producing.
Dude, I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't know how good those robots need to be, but like if they rolled them out and were like, right, they're now the cops, I would be down. Number one, well, listen, really? Number one, I don't think you need to arm them, right? Because cops have guns to protect themselves. I mean, right. They do also have them to like protect other people, but if you look at other countries that where the cops don't have guns, like England, the cops don't have guns. And really? There's pros and cons to all of it. Like, look, I'm an American now, okay? I'm still English, but I have citizenship here. I don't mind that cops have guns here. I'm not, like, anti-gun by any stretch of the imagination. But a lot of times they should have them because if they're pulling people over, you know, it's dangerous for them and people shoot at them. But if it's a robot, it can just get shot at and continue to pursue. It can give you like Google style answers back. So they'd actually be useful enough to go up to and be like, hey, can I get directions? You know, I mean, look, cops aren't always that friendly. That's how I see them. Like they're not, you know, it says protect and serve. They're not super polite a lot of times. They're kind of grumpy and they're not the first people I go up to, you know, shouldn't they be
called peace officers, not police officers?
Well, peace officer kind of sounds a bit dopey.
I knew you were going
to
talk shit.
I mean, look, I want them to protect me for sure, but you know.
No, but I mean, I wonder if that would even, I think those are all rational thoughts. I mean, that makes sense. It's just that as impartial they would be to like give you the best directions, they would also be like, oh, you just jaywalked, we're cutting your fucking finger off, I would think too. It would have to be a weird description.
Well, I mean, look, they would follow the law, but maybe they could also assess certain situations. Okay. Like if they pull you over and you've been arrested 14 times in the last month, then obviously you're a problem. So they're like, here's the thing. If you have no criminal record, you know, there would be a whole algorithm for it. Like, they'd figure it out.
There would be
I'm just saying, if we're letting cars drive themselves, maybe we could have robot police. RoboCop was a dope movie.
I mean, I feel like that is good in theory. I just feel like that could go slippery real quick. Especially if who's in charge of those fucking robots is the question.
Yeah, but they're not, like, I don't know. Maybe it would sort out the racist thing. Because they wouldn't be at it, they wouldn't take that into account. They'd be like, "We're just arresting you because you broke the law."
Right.
I'm not saying cops are racist. I'm just saying that people think that they are, and probably some are, for sure.
There's gonna be some profiling.
So what I'm hearing is you're not down for my robot police officer idea.
I'm not down. I think you made some valid points. It's probably where we're heading to, it seems like, especially like you said. I feel like you can cut down a lot of crime, but I feel like crime produces so much big business in a lot of ways, too. Like, if people weren't committing crimes or we didn't make certain things crimes, honestly, I don't want you to steal. I don't want you to murder. But, like, other, like non, like, hurting people crimes that we've churned into these things that have become so financially, like, profitable. Based on the court system, there's lawyers getting paid. There's a ton of people getting paid.
Well,
right?
Yeah, there's look, man, there's always going to be like the fuckery of politics and everything. There's no way around
that. Well, that's what I'm saying. Who's going to be in charge of those robots? Because I think there's going to be some fuckery involved with the robots, is my point.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're probably not going to program them to be like evil. There's going to be oversight.
Well,
it's like training.
Talk to QAnon.
All right. Going deep in the conspiracies. They brought up the Afghanistan thing for a little bit, right? And the mess in there. Dude, let me tell you this story real quick of a friend of mine. So he's used to be he's ex-Special Forces, like Green Beret, I think, Army. And he spent like a whole day working with the CIA like last week or someone from there trying to get an interpreter out of Afghanistan. Like getting him all the passes and all the different things that he needs to get out. And he's like telling me the story. This guy has five kids, was an interpreter for our special forces for many years. Now he's stuck there and they're trying to like get him out of there, and the Taliban are next to this base, and they're shooting into the crowd. Dude, just from basically knowing nothing about this kind of thing, really, than other than what we see on the news, and then hearing what this poor guy had to go through. Like, dude, I have a friend that has 5 kids, and he can barely get them all up and going in the morning. Like, it's a lot of work. Imagine dragging him back and forth between bases and, like, trying to get him it was just scary.
And then to just feel like you completely got sold out on by your whole fucking squad, probably. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, he had some motivations in order to take care of his family, but either way, it's like, dude, I did you a solid. Like, this is how... I don't know, man. Those images that I saw, those fucking huge-ass planes with all those people on it, it's just like, look, I mean... That's a rough pill to swallow watching other people deal with that kind of stuff right now. Especially, it's like, from a human standpoint, it's hard to watch those images because you're like, man, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, my heart goes out to them. You know, they're right. Like, these are people with families trying to stay alive and live a life, and they're just thrown into complete chaos. And probably a lot of them don't have much anyway. You know?
Would it take fucking like 48 hours for the Taliban to take back over?
See, that's what I don't understand. I'm like, how the hell did they manage to do this instantly?
We made no impact, like zero. There's zero impact that's been made if you're willing to say the Taliban just took over within 48 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
We've barely started opening, you know, restaurants again, and they are managing to take over an entire country.
Granted, I'm getting bits and pieces, but I just saw this thing that said that Biden wasn't going to pull out until August 31st. Like, I don't know if that's his, like, compensation or, like, reparation. We'll try and get everybody out in the next 5 days. Like, is that... I could be fucking this up because I've only seen it on the news and caught in snippets, but that's what I read and that's what I saw.
Huh.
So it's just like, it's a weird... I mean... Either do a job or don't. Like, it's weird to be like put it on him because you come into those situations not like as a president. Now you deal with the shit that happened before, and it seems to be the culmination of just constant.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Nonsense.
I'm sure the wheels for this were turning before he got in, and now he has to figure it out too. And there's probably no good answer. There's no good answer. Right. All I think about is I hope someone figures out a good way to help as many people as possible. Like, I just feel awful, like, knowing that after all that time, you know, of like trying to separate them from the rule of, you know, the Taliban, now it's like, all right, you're all on your own. It just seems brutal.
Yeah.
I feel like we can do better than that. It's America. Come on.
I hope.
We got this.
I hope. We need to start fucking spitballing some solutions here, though. That's for sure.
I was kind of hoping Lex had some. I was like, Lex probably has a smart thing to say. No, not that he didn't, maybe no one knows what the fuck to do.
It's weird to think about the North Korea situation, and you think about that situation, but then you bring it right back to like where we're at, and we have the homeless situation here. It's like, what battle do we pick to fight?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? There's people starving in our country, but I mean, it's like we try and play these like prestigious, like, I don't know, we've got it all figured out shit, but we've got enough problems going on here. And it's like, I don't want to say that because we do have the resources and we do have the opportunity to provide a lot for other places. But
I think it's something like you do what you can, right? What's in your reach. Like, I can't change anything in Afghanistan, and I can't do much about the homeless, but I can take the people in my life that I care about and help them in whatever ways I can and be a good support and hopefully even like a moral example in some way. I mean, you know, it doesn't sound like you're doing a lot there, but you probably are. Like, that's probably a good start for everybody to kind of do that sort of thing.
I agree.
Who knows, man? We're not going to figure it out. There's no way. But keep talking about it.
Let's keep trying.
Keep trying. Let's jump over to Neil Blomkamp. Legendary director. District 9, Elysium, Chappie. Shoot, what other movies he made? Oh, I forgot. But
dude, District 9 was a... I think I brushed it off initially, and then I watched it a second and third time, and I was like, this movie could be not too far off in the future.
Dude, it's really good, though, isn't it? Like, it's a really interesting alien movie.
Right. Like, I never heard Joe talk with such passion about alien movies.
Oh, he's a big fan. He often brings up aliens. He loves the alien movies. But yeah, he's a big movie fan. I mean, those movies are great, though. They are so different. It was ballsy as hell that he, you know, put his friend in. You know, the guy in District 9? That guy was excellent, though. I forgot that he wasn't famous. Dude. Because since that movie, he's been in a lot of things. So I was like, oh, he wasn't famous when he did that? I didn't realize that.
It's funny how Hollywood works. Did you hear him talk, not to segue, but when he talked about shearing his ear off?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Brutal. Yeah,
I was like, oh my God, bro. Can you imagine like hitting a bump in like a Hummer and just sliding your ear like completely off on some fucking 50 caliber gun?
Yeah. Well, they made that vehicle from Halo, right? Because he was going to make that movie. Yeah, he made the warthog, I think it's called. And he just sliced his ear off.
The way he described that kind of pain, I've had that kind of pain one other time, but it's almost like you've probably felt it too if you've like broken a bone or something. It's like that overwhelming, but like, I guess this is just how I deal with it kind of pain. Otherwise, like I severed my eyelid. My eyelid was like hanging down over my eyeball.
Yum.
And then I was like, and I just remember waking up in the back of the like ambulance, wiggling my toes and wiggling my fingers. And I was like, ooh, be all right.
Well, you know, I cut my thumb off last year, right? Remember that?
Yeah. Shooting it with a bow or something, right?
Yeah, it was a crossbow accident. Guys, let me tell you a little safety tip about crossbows. It may seem very obvious to pretty much everyone that's ever seen one, but for some reason, I did not realize. When you're firing a crossbow, don't stick your thumb up in the air because there's a string that's under a lot of tension that will fly forward and literally slice your entire thumb off. And the shock is amazing. You're just staring at your thumb hanging, going, did that really just happen? Wow.
That was such an interesting time for that to happen, too. Like, mid COVID, like, just out in the wilderness shooting thumbs off.
Yeah. Yeah. I went dove hunting the next day. Brutal.
It's life. Yeah, bud, brutal. Life.
I couldn't believe it. We get to the hospital, and they're like, you're kind of in a good mood for having your thumb cut off. I was like, well, it's gone now. So they were able to fix it, though. It looks pretty much like a normal thumb now. It feels weird. But yeah, when he described the slicing of the ear, that definitely came back to me. I was like, wow, that is a shocking feeling.
There's certain painful moments in your life where you're like, ooh, I will not forget this moment. Mm. Only a handful. I probably only have a handful. I remember I fell through the roof trying to like get a cable cord, and I fell right through the drywall and snapped my ankle right before football camp. That was a pain I would not like to instill on anybody else. But what would you say the worst pain you've ever had is in your life? One comes to mind. Not even a broken bone.
Oh, I got a burn. I think burns seems to be. Yeah, it was like a boiling pot of water like spilled all over my hand. And it was agony. Because it just, the way it throbs and it doesn't go numb. Like when I cut my thumb off, it actually kind of went numb like right away.
It just stays hot if it's burning.
Yeah, but the burning one was horrific. That was probably the worst.
I was going to say either an ear infection or I had a staph infection in my thumb, and my thumb got to be almost two sizes, the same size as my left thumb, before I was like, I should probably go to I was going crazy. Like I was like putting it under hot water, putting it under cold water, trying to sleep with it in like a cold water thing. I'm like, I'm going to overcome. And then I was like, it's two times the size. And I went to the doctor and he's like, yeah, I've never seen anything like this. And he like poked a hole in it and all this black shit just came out of my thumb.
Wait, what? So what happened? That was a staph infection?
Yeah, it was a staph infection. I've never experienced any kind of like unruly pain other than like I had a, like I said, I had a swimmer's ear one time. Like I went too deep in my ear. Like it felt like there was like an ice pick in my ear. But the staph infection was a close second.
Yeah, earaches can be really earaches and toothaches can be real bad.
Dude, it's like so overwhelming, the pain sometimes.
Man, I wish I'd saw your thumb. That sounds gross.
Oh, it was gnarly. I wanted to get it on picture, and he had a napkin over it, and I was like, "Let me see." He's like, "You don't want to see it." And I looked over, and it was just like, but I'll tell you what. Once he pressed the thing, the amount of pressure that came out of like my whole body, I was just like, "Oh," like it was like the amount of like release was like so amazingly intense, and it was crazy from such a small little hole in my fucking like cuticle of my thumb caused all that pain and like turmoil in my body. And then he just like poked a hole in it and it was gnarly, but it was like, there was one of, it was like a orgasmic moment where I was just like, oh my God, I can live again.
It's like, it's like finally releasing a fart after holding it in for an entire day. You're like, oh,
similar, but like life and death. But yeah,
I gotcha.
But
yeah. What did they give you? Did they give you just antibiotics for that and it cleared up? Or
no, I don't think he numbed it up. He put like a shot in it and then he just like made this small little incision. And I just remember it just came gushing out like a fucking lava train. Ooh. It was gnarly. People think
being a doctor would be a great job. It does not sound like it would be all that fun. Imagine just messing with all the gross stuff all day.
The gross stuff would be terrible, but you're like saving fucking people's lives and other people's lives, and you're like, yeah, I just sewed them up and made them better. So
yeah, that's a good point. What did you think of some of the philosophy shit that Neil was talking about when he got into like, he kind of feels like all this is just a hologram that like one day he just realizes was a dream. He kind of believes fate, like everything's already happened.
He was quoting Nietzsche, and like a lot of the stuff that I listen to. See, I mean, we've had this conversation about like whether or not it's all fate or whether or not, but it's just interesting to think. It seems like so vain and so human to like be separate. Because if you really look at it, it's like we grow from the world. We're like we're from the world. We're not like just put here. You know what I mean? That's like a human thought that you like put here. You just grew out of the world like the fucking palm tree in some other way. You know what I mean? But we have this distinct vanity that like we are doing something that somebody else isn't doing. And like, it's like the ego is just the only thing that controls the mind the majority of the time. You know what I mean? So it's
like, you got to wonder though, like the idea that it's all predestined, right? That there is fate. It was all going to go this way anyway. So then in a sense, it's like, it's more like a ride, right? You get to Disneyland and you just get on the ride. And it's super entertaining, and some of it's scary, and some of it's fun, and some of it's weird, and some of it's kind of painful. And then you get done, and then it's like, here's what you probably learned. And you're like, wait a minute.
Here's your picture of the ride.
Here's your picture.
Here's your $5 picture of the ride. I think that's a good way to look at it, to be honest. I mean, that's the way Joe always describes how Anthony Bourdain described life. He's like, life is a fucking roller coaster. Ride it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, well, that's just a cool thing to say. If you're
it is. That's the thing. You don't necessarily have to like always put up walls and like find reasons why. You know.
What is the point of that? It's what is pain and like discomfort and terrible tragedy? If it's like, okay, we try and add meaning to it. Be like, oh yeah, you're gonna learn something from this. And then from that, you'll be stronger and you can help others. That I like. But if it's all balance, going to happen to you anyway, then you're like, well, okay. Could it just happen less because it sucked?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. If it was that easy, then it'd be easy, right?
I don't know. I always get confused when you... But, you know, then Nietzsche's saying it. And, like, people so much smarter than we will ever be say that. And I'm like, I can't make sense of it.
I've kind of shifted my thought process for as far as like the like woo-woo, as far as like everything happens for a reason. I kind of think more of like everything happens for a reason, more of like in a biological setting. Like it's just like one big petri dish and everything is kind of balancing itself out to some regard. And we're definitely putting our fucking impact on that as humans. And I mean, that said, I mean, the world has responded like resiliently for fucking as many years as we've been here. So I don't know what the right answer is on anything. It just, but at the end of the day, it seems like it's, I don't know what the right answer is, but fate, or it feels better to believe that everything happens for a reason. I can tell you that, because if everything happens for coincidence, it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, completely random. And then, but you know, take the story of me shooting my thumb off. I'm like, what was, why
well,
now?
I just,
like, what are we
I
doing
just,
here?
I can tell you that I learned not to keep my fucking thumb up if I'm shooting a bow and arrow. If you want to take some silver lining from that, Tom,
I guarantee I'd be a lot safer with a crossbow. I haven't tried shooting one again, but I probably will not do that in the future.
Anybody listening, you might have saved a couple thumbs. You know, you don't fucking know.
I'd like to think so. If you've had a crossbow injury story, please write in and tell us all about it. I'd be interested to read it, and also then I would feel less like an idiot every time I think about that, because it does make me feel like a moron for doing that. That Ted Chan story he was talking about, it's like a friend of his that writes, I think it was the Ted Chan story where the guy's brain, he like got doubled his intelligence.
Right.
Remember him
talking about that story?
There was like a drug that he took.
Did that correspond with him like talking about like a vampire being a scientist at the same time?
I think it was the same guy that wrote that. I couldn't follow it. That story sounded pretty dope though. But like basically the guy had an injury, car wreck or something.
Those are all great screenplays. I'd watch all those movies.
Yeah, he's doing the vampire one. He's going to make that.
Yeah.
So right. That one sounds amazing. It's a real bummer he's not making the alien one though.
Right. Who knows? Hearing Joe say that he wants them to make it, who knows, maybe it'll inspire him.
You never know. But the vampire one sounds dope. I'd be down to watch that. But then the brains, like the one where the guy got super intelligent. What do you think you would do if you got super intelligent, like so much more intelligent than all other humans? What's your first play?
Well, the automatic human vein play would be, all right, how can I use this to a financial gain? Hopefully, right. You would think, firstly, from a humanitarian spot, you'd be like, how can I solve problems with all this knowledge? Because now I'm a little bit more enlightened. So I can
you'd probably realize you need a lot of money and intelligence to solve problems.
But hopefully, I wonder how the monetary system, like, is that, like, we've set it up, and I'm not trying to say I'm a socialist. I appreciate capitalism and, like, being successful, obviously being raised in America, that's just kind of bred in our bones. But it's like, was that how we were supposed to be? Because you don't see like one lion walking around the jungle. I mean, there's always one dominant lion, but he's not fucking where all these like material things came from, and all this necessity for like goods is just like so, again, human and vain. But it's just a weird lane to like completely focus on all the time.
Yeah,
maybe
but
if you were two
we
time,
do.
Maybe if you're two, maybe if you're 2 times smarter, none of that shit would even matter because you'd be so far past even acknowledging that shit. Is my thought.
Yeah, probably. I mean, who knows? We never met anybody that did that. You'd have to look at really smart people that exist now and see what they're up to.
Because really smart people are usually the future thinkers and like don't necessarily aren't really worried about what other people are thinking about, and they kind of. Hopefully separate the ego. A lot of successful people have ego. It just comes with the territory. But
well, the guy with the highest IQ ever recorded or alive today, I think it's over 200. I think he's like a security guard.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I Googled that once and that's what he does. So yeah, he obviously doesn't care too much to make tons of money. Probably just reads a load of books. I don't know. Be interesting.
That's interesting.
But I really liked that guy. Neil was a fascinating dude. I mean, his obsession with UFO stuff, I liked that. If you're a filmmaker, I want you to be really into UFOs and aliens, because those movies are often just fantastic. I love that.
I really like I love that too. I like the passion that he talks about his craft too. You know what I mean? Like the way he talked about like developing characters and doing the casting and doing the writing and the whole process that goes through the movie making like deal.
Yeah, you have to like everything when you're a director, right? Because you got to do so much.
He's telling that story about cruising around with the camera in his hand. You can like pick. It's like he's writing a story just when he's talking to it. So like picture what he's. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That would be wild to see how a movie gets made from like start to finish. I think that would be really interesting.
I think that I'm sure there's documentaries based on that. There's got to be.
Yeah, if no doubt. I'll find some time. I'll watch one.
let's definitely check out that QAnon though. I think that's going to be at least worth laughing at.
I know. Well, we might as well because we know Joe is going to talk about it for the next month, so we might as well have our own opinions on it. Otherwise, we just reiterating something from a show we have not watched. It's probably not useful. But look, man, let's call it for today. Thank you everyone for listening. Review us, give us 5 stars. We appreciate it. Reach out anytime. Our email's in the bio. Follow Garrett there on Instagram. Tell him what's up. And thank you. Garrett, happy birthday, brother. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
Appreciate you guys. We love you. Peace and love.
Later.